and then I'll just talk a little bit about where we're headed over the next few weeks. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, this is a foundational passage in this Gospel of Luke. It's one of the central foundational points that Luke is making. He actually takes a number of teachings of Jesus in the following chapters and miracles and the actions that Jesus did. He shared a number of these in order to kind of show that this is what Jesus was doing, that this was Jesus' mission, and he came to do these things. Jesus reads this prophecy to them from Isaiah, and Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 is where you would find it in the Old Testament, and he declares that he is this anointed prophet. He is this anointed one that Isaiah speaks of that is going to do these things, that is going to bring good news to the poor and release captives and set sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. This is important to us as we read this and see, well, this is Jesus' ministry. Jesus himself is standing in his hometown at his home synagogue, and he is declaring, "I am this prophet. I have been anointed and sent to preach the good news to the poor and release captives and bring sight to the blind and the oppressed free. I am this one." And it's important to us because, you see, Jesus' mission is our mission too. And as you go through this series, I want you to hear that and remember that and drill that right into your spirit. Jesus' mission is our mission too. You see, when Jesus engaged his mission, if you look through the Gospels and Jesus began to engage this mission that he was anointed and sent to do, he didn't do it alone. He chose 12 disciples, right? In Matthew 10, you will read where he actually sent the 12 out to do exactly what this says. He sent the 12 out to do these things that he is called to do. And if you read later in Luke, Luke describes in Luke 10 a place where he actually sends 70 out to go into those cities and go all over the place and do this mission, you know? The good news, preaching the good news of the kingdom and setting people free and bringing sight to the blind, not just the physically blind, but the spiritually blind. And oppress, set free those who are oppressed. See, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he came to those disciples who were with him and sent out. And he came to them and he said, after he rose again, in John 20, verse 21 and 22, he said to those disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And in Matthew 28, as he's about to ascend into heaven, verse 18 and 19, he says, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. As the Father sends me," they heard earlier, "so I am sending you." And now, again, we hear that as Jesus was sent, so we are sent. His mission is our mission. Amen? And so this chapter, this passage is important. So I want to talk about this. I want to spend these next few Sundays to talk about this, the fact that we are anointed and sent. I'm going to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about how we are sent to bring good news to the poor, how Jesus did it, and what that looks like for us. I want to talk about healing the broken heart. I want to talk about, on another Sunday, setting the captives free. And on the last one, I want to talk about bringing sight to the blind. Jesus was anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he was sent to do these things among the people of our world. And as followers of Jesus Christ, as his disciples, we also are sent to do these things in our world. Amen? And I think this is an important paradigm we need to shift. Because in our world, the present paradigm is that you go through the world to get the things you need to live. This is the paradigm we have generally in our Canadian culture, is that we go through our world, we get the job we need so that we can make the money that we need, so we can provide for ourselves, so that we can do the things that we want, so that we can have a nice retirement, so that we go to places to get the things we need so that we can live. And it's important that we live, but the mission that God gives us is bigger than ourselves. And we all know when we live for ourselves, come on, don't we know this, that when we really focus everything on ourselves, our world gets very small and we get very unhappy. Don't we know this? I mean, we keep turning to more pleasure. We keep turning to more stuff. We keep turning to new things to find that stuff that makes us feel satisfied. But we're not really fulfilled. We're not really satisfied because we weren't necessarily created to take care of ourselves. Actually, God created us. And he promises to take care of us. And he asks us to have a mission for his kingdom. So I want to talk now about anointed and sent. These two things, because Jesus tells us that. And just before I do, let's look at this context of what leads us to this. Because I think in the things that Luke talks about before we get to Nazareth, there are some things that carry into this statement Jesus makes in Nazareth. So we find that there is, in Luke chapter 3, we find that there is a prophet named John who's baptizing people in water as a symbol and proclamation of their repentance, to turn from their old sinful ways and turn to God. And he's doing this to Jewish people who know nothing about a Messiah or Christ. They know he's to come, but they don't know the stuff we do in our Christian culture. So a lot of times, the Jewish people, you might look and say, well, what's water baptism? What's that about? And I would encourage you, if you know Jesus and haven't been baptized in water, you need to do that, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But here comes Jesus, and he is baptized by John. For every Jewish person of that day, they would understand what it means to pass through water to new life. Because every Jewish person in their history knows all about passing through water to new life. For 400 years, they were slaves to Egypt. God set them free, and when he set them free, they passed through the Red Sea. They passed through, miraculously, passed through water, and that brought them to freedom and new life. And after they were in the wilderness for those many years that they were in the wilderness, I think God intended one, but they were stubborn and rebellious, and they ended up there 40 because of their behavior. That should be a message. Right? Anyway, they passed through the Jordan. They passed again, miraculously, through water, which brought them out of the wilderness to new life. And here now, John is talking to these people, these Jewish people, and saying, hey, you've got to give up your old ways. Give up your old Judaistic ways that you haven't followed the way God intended, and you've been rebellious and you've been sinful. Give up your old sinful ways. Pass through this water and take on a new life. And so Jesus symbolizes this and does this again. And it's interesting to me that it's at this point that God chooses to send his Spirit to descend on him at this water baptism and make the statement in John 3:22, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." He makes that statement. And in Luke 4:14, I mean, the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness where he's tempted and victorious, paralleling how the people of Israel went into the wilderness and weren't, and ended up 40 years in that wilderness. Jesus went through and was tempted and came out victorious. And the scripture says that he returned to Galilee. That's the area of Nazareth that Nazareth was in. He returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Be victorious in the wilderness, saints, because you can come out of that full of the Holy Spirit's power. Be victorious in the wilderness. Under that anointing and power, he begins to minister, bringing him to Nazareth, his hometown, where it says he goes into the synagogue, which was his usual practice when he went into a town. He would join with all the other Jewish people in the synagogue and teach. And he would go in there, and he declared when he went in there this time, he got up to read because he wanted to read the scriptures. And that was kind of how it worked in the synagogue. There wasn't really priests. They were just Jewish people meeting together. It was not the temple, but a synagogue. And so they would just do ministry together, and someone would stand up and they would hand him a scroll and he would read the scriptures. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he read that passage of scripture: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And it says that he rolled up that scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and he walked over and he sat down, which was typically the custom, because it was expected that after a person read the scripture that they might say a few words about it. And everybody was looking at him, but he didn't give the usual message that a lot of others would say, maybe a message of encouragement. He basically told them, speak to them, and he said, "The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Wow, that's something. Because here you have someone who grew up in their church, right? Whose dad used to work on a lot of their equipment, a lot of their things that they needed. His dad would have done a lot of the work around the house. Joseph was a construction kind of guy, carpenter by trade. And that word carpenter in the Jewish would be more, not just about wood, but a lot of things. And he grew up in their church, and he grew up under the trades. And now he stands in front of them and says, "I'm the anointed prophet that Isaiah talked about." And many of them would look at that and probably see a messianic prophecy and hear that Jesus is suggesting to them that he might be the Messiah even. Some would consider that, and this is a big statement. But we're not talking here this morning so much about the Messiah of Jesus and what that looks like. We know, we believe that Jesus is that Messiah who is to come. What I want to talk to you about is the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was anointed and that he was sent. He was anointed and he was sent. God had anointed Jesus and sent Jesus to bring good news to the poor, release captives, bring sight to the blind, and have the oppressed set free. This was his mission. And it's our mission too. Amen? It's our mission too. I don't know, are you happy that you have a mission? Or would you rather say, I don't know if I want to deal with that mission. I've got a lot of things I'm dealing with already, and I've got to get my life figured out before I can do God's. I'm going to suggest to you, if you don't do God's, you're not going to get your life figured out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. His mission first, then yours gets worked out. So there are two words in this prophecy that I'm going to explore today. I've talked to you about them: anointed and sent. And as we talk about these, I want to remind you to keep this in mind. His mission is our mission. Jesus is given the fullness of God's Spirit. We are given His Spirit as well. It is for His mission. So anointed and sent, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me." And then a little bit later he says, "He has sent me." Two words that has been done in order to do the mission, to be anointed and to be sent. Interestingly, what we talked about that happened just before Jesus came to Nazareth, you can see that happening. Luke actually described it. So go back to his baptism. In Luke 3:22, he comes out of the water and it says, "And the Holy Spirit in bodily form," in physical form, so people could actually see this physical form of the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus. In physical form, it comes down. And I like what Luke is saying. It's not a dove. What happens when you see something that nobody else has ever saw and you're trying to describe it? You use things people have seen to try to describe something nobody's ever seen. And so he says the Holy Spirit came down in physical form, and it came down like a dove would. And he's saying this Holy Spirit came down like a dove on him, and the Holy Spirit rests on him. So you can see how the Holy Spirit is upon him, he says. And we see the fulfillment happening at his baptism. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he's just finished water baptism, and the Holy Spirit, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, his baptism, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You see the Spirit getting involved. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me, and He has sent me. In this case, sending him into the wilderness. And of course, he spends the time in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the enemy, and succeeds in yielding or in resisting all of that temptation. In Luke 4:14, it says, Jesus returned after temptation to Galilee, filled with the Spirit's power. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me, and He has sent me. Amen. By practice and by prophecy, Jesus was filled and empowered and anointed by God's Holy Spirit for ministry. According to Isaiah's prophecy, the Spirit's anointing was for a specific mission, to give good news to the poor. And that word poor in that scripture, and we'll talk about that more when we get to that part next Sunday maybe, where it's not just about financially poor. We think poor financially, but it's the social outcast. They could have lots of money, but they're just social outcasts. They're not accepted at all. Heal broken hearts. Boy, we have a lot of broken hearts in our world. A lot of hidden broken hearts. We have a lot of people breaking hearts in our world. Isn't that true? We are not called to be breaking people's hearts. We are called to heal broken hearts. Bring sight to the blind. Help people see. Proclaim the Lord's favor. You know, Peter was explaining all of this to a house of Gentiles, Cornelius' household. And he was explaining some things. And he said about Jesus this in Acts 10:38. "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them." Do you see in that scripture? He's anointed and sent. Anointed and sent. His mission is our mission too. Amen? I'll show you that in a minute. We also need and should desire God's Spirit. We need His anointing. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? We need the Spirit of God anointing our lives, filling our lives, permeating our lives, guiding our lives. You can see through the scripture that Jesus was saturated with the work of the Holy Spirit in His life, empowered and strengthened and anointed and guided by the Holy Spirit. If we do what seems right to us, there's going to be a lot of strife, a lot of difference of opinion, a lot of people going a lot of different ways. Wouldn't you agree with that? When you do what's right with you, do you notice that it doesn't mesh with everybody else around you? Right? So we need to have the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us so that we can move as one. Amen? So that we can work together as one. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, and he sent Jesus. We see that in the scripture over and over. I read John 20, 21, 22. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." How you see there in that scripture, the Holy Spirit partners with the mission. And wait again, Jesus talks to the people that are there that are watching him. He says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem." He's about to ascend into heaven, but before he does, he tells the many that are there. I mean, there was 120 in the upper room praying, right? Acts 1, 4, 5, he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. I told you before. John baptized with water, but just in few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This need of the Holy Spirit in our life. But he didn't stop there. Just a few verses later, he said, "You will receive," in verse 8, "you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Sent. Anointing and sent, telling people about me everywhere. Do we want to see that the anointing of the Holy Spirit also is a sending that needs to happen as well? These two are meant to be together. It is important that we see our need for the anointing, yes, and empowering of the Holy Spirit, his anointing, his filling, his empowering in our lives. But that partners with a mission. And how we need to embrace that mission. We receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. The scripture tells us this. And we understand that when we accept Jesus, his Spirit comes and dwells within us. Do we know? Do we realize that when his Spirit comes into each of us, it is not just for us to feel good? It is also for mission, for purpose, to do the work that God is sending us to do. The scripture, I think, is clear in this and talks to us about this. We receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, yet he was not given to us only as an assurance for us. That is one reason. But also to anoint us and to fill us and empower us for his mission. Jesus was anointed and empowered and sent to fulfill the mission described in Isaiah, and I think it's important for us not to separate the anointing of the Holy Spirit from his mission for us. For Jesus' mission is our mission too. We may look for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As a pastor, and we have conversation, and I've had conversation with lots of people on how they look for the Holy Spirit, how they want to see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, in our church, in their life. They want more of the Holy Spirit. Some of us use the word revival, and when we say the word revival, we're looking for a move of the Holy Spirit among a group of people that would refresh and inspire us to follow God, right? And these are good things, but the one focus that I think we might be missing sometimes, at least sometimes, is that when we're talking about the moving and empowering and filling of the Holy Spirit, our focus is on us. But when I'm reading these scriptures and studying these scriptures and looking, the pouring in of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit isn't for us as much as it is to empower us for others. It's not in us, it's through us. And I see this anointing and how important it is that we have this anointing of the Holy Spirit. But maybe we don't always get this anointing that we think we should get because we're wanting it for us. And we have set aside, at least in some part, the mission we're called to as a church, as a follower of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and anoints and empowers to fulfill his mission to the world through us. Amen. And so when we seek and desire the Holy Spirit, when we look for His work in our life, it's not just, I mean it is, but it's not just about His changing us and working in us. It doesn't stop there. His power and anointing is to work through us. So I wonder sometimes if we don't see the anointing and empowering of the Spirit in our churches because we are not seeking Him to empower us for mission. Because while we want His Spirit to pour in us and strengthen us, we don't always say, God, I want you to do that so I can work for you. It seems to stop here. Now, I don't know, guys. I've thought of this as an object lesson. I've thought about this. I mean, if you took a glass of water and you poured water into that and you filled it right to the top, filled it so it just dribbles out a bit, you know, fill it as far as much as you can, and then now you set that water on the counter and leave it there. Just leave it there. Tomorrow it's probably pretty good. 3 days, it starts to taste a little stale, doesn't it? I don't know if you ever, any of you ever drank three-day-old water. Okay, now let's wait a week. Now let's wait 2 weeks. How many of you have been saved for more than 20 years? I'll tell you something. If there ain't something flowing out of you so that more needs to flow into you, you're going to be 20-year-old standing water. You hear what I'm saying? And that's just gross. I know that's a weird word, but think about it. If that cup sat on your counter for 20 years, if it didn't dry up to nothing, it would be greeny, moldy. Ugh. Does that attract anything good? Are you hearing me? We are not filled for us. We are filled for mission. And we need to be holding on to this idea of mission. And I'm going to be spending time in our messages about mission. Let us seek the Holy Spirit. Yes, seek Him with a passion to anoint us, to empower us, to fill us. But not just for what He can do for us. I think we sell it short. I think we sell Him short when we just seek for what He can do for us. Perhaps we need to seek Him for how He can use us for others. To carry on Christ's mission, to bring the good news to the poor, to release the captives from prisons, to bring sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Again, we hear the words of Jesus where He says to those disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit was given for the mission. So over the next few Sundays, I'm going to be talking and looking deeper at the mission to heal that broken heart, to set the captive free. Right? Over these next few Sundays, we'll look at this. And as you do, I'm asking you to talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to God about what I can do for the mission. What I can do for the mission. Most of those things we're going to talk about, they aren't part of church programs. A lot of these aren't happening in the church and don't really happen in the church. The church is a place of discipleship, where Christians grow. And that's a great place, but that's really the biggest part of what we do. We gather together to encourage each other and to grow so that we can do mission in our world. Right? Then people, through you, come to know Jesus Christ. And because they're followers of Jesus Christ, they need to disciple and grow. And so they come to church to be encouraged and discipled and grow so they can go out and do mission and love on people and heal broken hearts and set captives free and bring sight to the blind. The church that dries up, the church that loses life, is the church that focuses on themselves. And so the next few Sundays, I want to turn our hearts and our minds to the purpose of Christ. Why he saved you is not just to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life, but you're still here to engage his mission. And I want you to ask the question, how am I engaging his mission in this world? Who is it around me that I can heal their broken heart, that I can set a captive free, that I can give freedom, that I can deliver anybody who seems to be oppressed? What can I do to lift out of the oppression? What can I do in another person's life to help them see, to bring sight to the blind? What can I do? How can I embrace this mission? If we desire his spirit, we need to engage his mission. And if we are engaging his mission, we need the anointing of his spirit. Amen? So I want to close this off with two things. I know Pastor Andrew's up, and I think we might have some people with worship team to play some music, and I can invite them to come at this time, because as they come and prepare, maybe just to sing and play a little bit, I want to pray for anybody, and I want to give you opportunity. Altar call is kind of a different tradition or an older tradition, but still it serves a purpose, and you don't need to necessarily do this if you don't want. You can kneel where you are. But perhaps there are some people that are fitting under two categories here, or two areas. As I'm talking, I'm thinking this. There's some of you here that are saying, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I remember the days when I was full, where the life of the Spirit was strong, and I knew his voice, and I sensed his prompting, and those were good days, and I missed those times. And I need more of his Holy Spirit. You need to understand that if you call for the Spirit of God, it's not just a calling of the refreshing of the Spirit in your life, but it is a fresh call to mission. And so when you come saying, I want more of the Holy Spirit, you need to also come saying, I need to get back to the mission. I need to engage your mission in the fullness of the Spirit. The second thing that I'm thinking of here today is you may be here so greatly in need of some of the things that this mission is doing. Maybe you're here and your heart is breaking. Maybe you're here and you are held captive and you need to be set free. Maybe you are here and you just can't see the hope that needs to be ahead. Your faith is so hard to get ahead. You just can't see. And there needs to be sight for further ahead. Maybe there's an area in here that you would like prayer for. So we have many people here who know Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God lives in you and you're engaged in mission. If there are people that are coming forward, would you listen to the Spirit of God if they prompt you to just come up and lay a hand on their shoulder and agree with them? You're welcome to do that. But we're going to sing, and I'm going to be just right here. And you don't need to wait for anything in particular. Just if you want to come up to say, I want more of the Holy Spirit, I need to engage his mission, I want to reconnect with this, then let's start now. Let's make this a starting point. It's not the finish point, it's a starting point. If you're here and you're saying, I just need God to help me through because I'm feeling oppressed, I'm feeling captive, and I just need Jesus to come through with this mission, then I want you to come and stand over on this side. Those who want more of the power of the Holy Spirit, come over here. Those who just need the Spirit of God to work in them some area of their life, come over here. And I want some people that have the power of the Spirit in their lives to come and pray with them. And I'm going to be praying over here. I can't be everywhere. So let's come and pray together. Amen? Let's come and pray together. Just come on up and pray. More of the Spirit for engaging mission. Those who just need God to work in their lives. Amen. And just before they start singing, I want some of you, please, listen to me. God is working in you and you need to engage mission. Your believers, your followers, you know what that's about. There are people on this side and people on this side that need you to agree with them right now. Don't let them stand alone. You know you don't want to stand alone, so don't let them stand alone. Come and pray for people and agree with them and let the Spirit of God do their work. Lead in worship. And if you need to go, you're released. There's no formal closing. God bless you.
So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing.